what we're going to do is continue looking at the VB.net, mainly because I just had a lot of examples under that, and it really doesn't make an awful lot of sense to do everything over for 215 when it's running in VB.net. So we're going to go in. And I want to go over the search one more time and make sure everybody's comfortable with that. And I didn't start it up when I first came in. So now we sit and watch.
Which one are we opening up?
I don't know. I'm still waiting for it to come up. I don't remember what it's called. Come on. Okay, I'm going to start with soup search and then go to substring. Soup search we've already looked at, but I'm going to start with soup search. Okay, remember that with soup search, you are actually reading a file. And the file is located in the bin, so it goes with the program. And that's a good way to send a file that you want to read, is have it in there. Okay, so the first thing I did is I set up an item number array and an item name array, and we're going to look at some other ways of doing that. But this is an item number array and this is an item name array, and they go together. So the third element here goes with the third element there. The problem with this approach is that you have to keep track of that. That the third element here is the third element there, you have to keep track of and make sure your numbers and names are correct, and that when you add something, you add it right, as opposed to getting them out of sync. Okay? So those are the items and names, and I'm doing a file open there. So in the load, because notice where things are. In the load, I'm creating the array. I defined it up above so that I could use it in any module I wanted to. But I'm loading the stuff on the load event, which means it's a one-time thing. I will load it on a one-time thing. And I also opened the file, okay? I just opened the file, opened it as input because I'm going to read it. So that's a one-time thing. I can't open a file that's already opened, so I don't want to embed that in the program. I want it to be in the one-time things and housekeeping, if you will. load is like housekeeping and in other languages. So I've got my load here, and then coming down, when I exit, I close the file and I get out. So that's my use of the file. Okay? I can also... read the file. There we go. So if I start the program... Come on, you can do it. Okay. So this is my button read, and it will read the first record. Okay, so when I hit read, it reads the first record. Okay. So let's find button read. Okay. So button read checks for end of file. Okay, I set up some variables that I'm going to use to do this. Work order number, work item number, work number ordered. And I set those up. And then I say if it's not end of file, and the one means drive one. Okay, because I've got multiple drives going on, possibly. And this one I don't, I just have one file. But it's just that one file. So if it's not end of file on one, if it is end of file on one, then I set up a message box that tells them that end of file is reached, and I turn off the read button. So I hide the read button so they can't keep clicking on it when there's nothing more to read. Yeah?
Where do I find the, is that the suit?
It's in, vb.net arrays. If you go to...
Is that the array zipped file?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's right there, array zipped. It's in there. And the ones we'll be looking at for the first part of today are in there. Uh-huh. So, the read, we're continuing on with the read. It then takes in the records, and this particular way of handling it, takes in the individual fields. So it takes in the work order number, it takes in and puts work item number and work number ordered. Okay, so it takes in three fields, and those are the only three fields that I have out there. If you go to the file, those are the only three fields that I have. Okay? And I'll stop this and go to the file for a second. Actually, that's not where I want to be. I want to be here. And this was soup search, right? So if I go to the bin, there's the file, the soup file right there. Okay, so there's the bin that has the soup file. And if I do a open with Notepad, there's the file. Okay, so there is the file, and it's only got the three things in it. Okay. The first thing is just the item number of the customer or whatever. The next one is which soup. And the last one is how many you want of that soup. Okay, so it's item number, which soup, and how many you want of that soup. Or order number, I guess it is. But anyway, it's some arbitrary number that we're not really using. What soup it is, and how many of that soup you want. So, and it's in that order. So when I go back to the program now, and I look at the program, I'm taking in the order number, and yes, it was an order number, yes. I'm taking in the order number, which is that four-digit number. Then I'm taking in the item number, which is which soup I want. And then I'm taking in the number ordered. So I'm taking those three things in. And I'm calling them the areas that I set up. So I set up some hold areas to hold them in. And now I'm reading them, and then inputting them, reading them, and they're going into these hold areas that I set up. Then I take the hold area and I assign it to a text field on the form. Okay, so that it's on the text field on the form. Okay. Now, I also want to show the name. So that's when I said about the search, and then we're going to look at that again. Is it goes to the search to find the name. The name wasn't out on the file, but if I run it, you'll see the name there. Okay? So if I run this, and I do the read, it reads the first record, and it then takes the 12 and uses it to search the table and come up with corn chowder. Okay, because if we look back up at the table, 12 was the second one in, and corn chowder is the second one in down here. So what it's doing in the search is it is finding a match. So it's going in and finding a match. And then once it has the match, it's taking the index, okay, has an index of 1, and is using the index of 1 to extract from there. Okay, so it found it, it had an index of 1, and it used that index of 1 to come down here and take out the name that had an index of 1. Okay? So if it had been 25, it would have said, oh, I need an index of 5, and it would go down here and take vegetable soup. So the index, once it's found a match, the place where it found the match gives it the index. And that index can then be used to extract from the second table. Does that make sense? Okay, so then if I read again, this time it is 27. And 27 is got an index of 6, so I go into the name table, and 6 is onion soup, so it brings up onion soup. Okay. Now, if it keeps going, sooner or later, it's going to find one that there's not a match to. So I'm going to just keep going till I find that. There it is, match not found. So whoever entered 34, that's not a valid item. I don't have a 34 over there. And so since I don't have a 34, I don't find it in the soup name table, the item name array. And so what I do is I, in my code, I put out a message that says match not found, because 34 is not in there. Okay, so it came in with an item number of 34. When it did a search for 34, it couldn't find it. And so I end up with match not found. Okay, so now I want to go down and look at the search. Because on the open, when I click button read, it moves the information that it has out to the form. But it doesn't have the text item name. And so what it does is it says the text item name is what is going to be returned from the search array. So I'm going and doing a function. Okay, I'm going and doing a function. And the function is right down here. Okay? It's decided it doesn't want me to draw. Okay, why does it want me to draw?
I have one question.
Okay, so as soon as I solve my problem, just 1 minute. I've solved my problem. Okay, it's going to go and do the function called search array, and it's passing work item number. And now you get to ask your question.
So when you find one of the numbers, like 27 or 25, what that does is it finds like the number, say for example 25 is 5, so you would move down an item name for 5 is vegetable soup.
That's right.
Okay.
And now we're going to watch how they do that, because this is in the search array.
Okay.
And we looked at the search array one other time, but I think it's interesting enough that it needs a second visit. Okay, so I am now saying go do the search. And when I'm done with the search, I am going to return. And notice it says here return item number array. So I'm returning that, or else I'm returning match not found. So I'm either returning the name or I'm returning match not found. And that's the end if and end of the function, and I have the function here done twice. And so you can look at that, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But the function I did twice. Okay, so you have two variations on the function. But we're just looking at the one that hasn't been commented out for now. Okay, so I am sending down the work item number, and it receives the work item. So I now said, okay, now go and we're going to do the search. Well, to do the search, I need two things. I need a subscript to do it. And so I define the subscript as item sub. And I want an indicator to tell me when I find a match. And at the beginning, I clearly haven't found a match, so I'm setting that to no. Now, I could just set it to N, I could have set it to a 1, and when I find it, I change it to a 0, or I can do anything I want. I just chose to use no and yes. So I said, dim the match indicator as a string equal to no. And then I said, do until. And until tells you when to get out. Okay, so in the until here, I'm telling it when to get out. When to get out. The one below has a while, and the while is going to tell it when to stay in. But the until tells it when to get out. So I'm saying do until item sub is greater than 8. Which means I've checked everything, because there are only 8 things in the array. So once it becomes greater than 8, I have checked everything, so I know it's not there. So I don't want to check and move it up to 9, because it's going to crash. Or I find a match. So when to get out is, I pass the end of the array. Or I find a match. I will get out for one of those two reasons. Either I've checked everything and it's not there, or I found a match. Does that make sense? Those are the two reasons I want to get out. Now, the problem I'm going to have is that when I get out, I'm not going to know why. So notice after the do until, after the loop ends, I check and see why I got out. Because there were two possible reasons for me to get out, and I don't know which one it is when I get out. So down below, I say, if the match indicator equals yes, that means I found the match. And I put out the item name array modified by item sum. I return that to the function. And when I return it, okay, when I return it to the function, it gets put into textItemName.text because a function assigns what is returned to a particular field. And so I'm returning that. It gets assigned to textItemName.text, which is why you see it on the screen. You look like you have a question, Ryan.
I'm just reading along.
Okay. So if I got out because I found a match, then I want to move out the name. If I got out because I didn't find a match, because item sub got to be greater than 8, then I'm returning match not found. Okay, so if I got out because of that, I'm using match not found. If I got out because I found a match, I'm returning that. So I'm returning one of the two things to be put in the text box for the item name. I'm either returning the item name or I'm telling it that it doesn't exist. Okay, so now what the search does. The search says, if work item number, and that's the thing that I read. Remember when I read, I've got a work item number, and I passed it down to here. So I'm saying, if the work item number that I passed to the search is equal to item number array modified by item sub. Now, item sub, I started at 0. So it's going to look at the first entity in the table. It's going to look at the first thing in the table and see if it finds a match. Okay? If it finds a match, then it is setting the match indicator equal to yes. If it doesn't find a match, it's increasing item sub and looping back so that it will check the next item sub. First it will check and make sure it's not greater than 8. If it's greater than 8, it's out of here. But if it's not greater than 8, then it looks to see if the work item number is equal to the item number array modified by item sub. So item sub is now up to 1, so it's going to look at the next slot in the array. And if that's not a match, it's going to go down, add 1, loop back, not greater than 8. It's now going to look at the third slot, the next slot down. So item num is just progressively moving me down 1 so that I keep looking at the next one down. You know, and if I go through and I find a match. Okay. So if you, want to watch something like that, you can put in a message box. Okay. So I want to check that, and I'm running still, so I can't change things. Okay, so I can put over here a message box. I'm trying to decide where it makes sense to put it. I think I want to see it every single time. So I think I'll put it up here and we can see what it is. Message box is going to show me the item num array modified by item sub. I'll just copy this. Okay, so it's going to show me what I'm just looking at. And here's my table. We'll get this so it makes sense. So there's my table. And I want my code to show there. And I want to start. And I want to read. Okay, so it's a 3 on the first on the search. Let me get the table up. There it is. So on the search, when the items have, it finds the 3. Okay, on the form it's got a 12, so it's not a match, right? So 3 does not equal 12. Okay. So at that point, it is adding one to item sub and going back. And so the next one shows 12. Okay, but I haven't done the match indicator yes and everything. But the next one finds 12. And we know that that's actually going to be a match. Because the 12 up there matches to the 12 in the table.
Once you click read for the next item, the match item is reset to no, right?
When I drop down again to go into it, it will be reset to no. Yes, we can see that. So the 12 comes over and is now looking at that. And it's got itself a match. So now I'm asking the if statement of, did you find a match? And it's going to say yes. So match indicator is being set to yes, and con chowder pops up. And to answer your question, when I tell it to go do the function, I always reset it to no. So that when it's told to go do the function, it will be reset to no.
And that's basically like per click?
No, not per click, per, yes, I'm sorry, per read. Okay, and yes, per click. It's every time you read or click, you're right. But while it's read, it's staying in there. So if I read again, it's now been sent to no, and I've now got a 27 there. So again, it looks at the 3, it doesn't find a match. It looks at the 12, it doesn't find a match. It's going to keep going quite a ways. So there's the 3, and it doesn't find a match. So I'm going to click OK. And it now is going to 12, and it didn't find a match. And then I click OK. And it won't stay put. Then it goes to 15, and it didn't find a match. And then it goes to 17, and it didn't find a match. And let's see. And now it's going to click OK. It goes, why did it decide to stay? 24. I guess it's because I'm doing the saving notes. Then, no, there's 25. So it keeps going and it hasn't found a match yet. Now it's at 27 and it's finding a match. So when it found the match, the number was 6. So the next thing I'm going to do is, it found a match, so I set the match indicator equal to yes. I'm done now, because I'm not going to go back because of the or match indicator equals yes. So once it's been set to yes, when I hit loop, I go back and say, I'm out of here. And then I say, if match indicator goes yes, then take the number, item sub, which is where item sub was 6 when I found this. When I found this, item sub was 6. And go to the name array and take the 6th one, which moves a new suit up there. And in a minute, you'll see a new suit go up. Okay. So I read, I click OK rather, and onion soup is up there. Okay, so I'm out of there and onion soup is up there. And then I am done with this, and the next time I come, because I'm done, I go back, the next time I come, it goes to the search, sends the new item number, and does the whole thing again. So the next time, when I read, it's 45, and now we're going to have to go through them all to get to 45. And when it got to 45, it changed it to wonton soup. Then I hit the next one, and it's 28. And it keeps... Why does it decide periodically that it won't show me the picture? What am I doing that it makes it... All right, now it's happy. Okay, and so it brings up green pea, and then 17, we already know, I think, brings up tomato soup, whatever. And it just will keep going through those. Now, if it doesn't find a match, once item sub is past 8, then it gets out. So once I add one to item sub, and item sub becomes more than 8, it then gets out and checks. Is the math indicator a yes? No, it's not. So write match not found. Does that make sense?
Now, how does it know to skip a soup that's already read, though?
It doesn't. It does the search all over again. Every time it comes through with a new item number, it's a brand new item number to it. It doesn't know that it found it 5 back and I can go 5 back and find the name.
So is it just going line by line, essentially?
Yes.
Okay.
It's going line by line. So here's my table, and it's going line by line because of the subscript. Okay? This item sub is what I am using to compare to the thing in the table. So I'm saying item number array modified by item sub. So when item sub is a 0, it looks here. When item sub is a 1, it looks here. When item sub is a 2, it looks there. And item sub keeps changing because I keep adding one to item sub. So I go through the table until either item sub is too big or I find a match. Okay? So if when item sub gets down to 4, it's a 24. If that's a match, I set the match indicator to yes. If it's not a match, I add one to item sub and I look, and I keep looking at the next one until finally I either find a match or I max out. Okay? Because it can't go past 8 because the biggest thing I have there is 8. So the subscript can't go bigger than 8, or index, or pointer, or whatever you want to call it, can't go greater than 8. I mean, when you think about it, it's really kind of neat. This is kind of a standard search technique. And usually when I'm searching, I'm looking at an array. Arrays are set up to make searching doable. Questions?
I'm still a little confused how you was getting the message box to pop up like 27.
Right here, I just added a message box. So every time I went into the loop, I put up item number array modified by item sub. So item number array modified by item sub is these numbers. So I got those numbers to come up every time. Okay. And I obviously would not keep that in here. I put that in here to show you the step-throughs. But, okay, if somebody actually was using a program like that and you put up those message boxes, they'd kill you. Okay, because they don't want to look at the message boxes popping up every time they're trying to do something. But it's a great debugging technique if it's not working correctly, or a great way to understand. If you look at a program and you don't understand how it works, if you put up a couple of message boxes that show where the stuff is, it tend. I mean, I do a lot when I'm looking at a program that I don't know how it works, like something that somebody passes in and I can't figure out what they're doing. I do a lot with paper and pencil, playing computer, and putting in message boxes to see what it shows when it shows it. Okay. And so again, if you keep going here long enough, this one is checking 28, green pea soup. And then the next one is a 3, so it finds it right away. And the next one is 34, and this is the error. So it finds that, it goes through, there's the last one, it looks at the last one, and the last one, when I added one, the last one didn't match. When I added one, it took item sub up to 9. So that means when it went back up here, it said, I'm out of here. It checked, is match indicator equals yes, no, so it took the else and moved match not found up. Does that one make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. The next one that I want to look at also uses this. Oh, actually, take it back. I want to stay there. Sorry. Because I wanted to look at the one that I had X'd out. Now, the interesting thing about this is it basically does exactly the same thing. The only thing that's different is the while. Okay? The do until is what gets me out. Okay, do it until either item sub is greater than 8 or match indicator goes yes. Now notice it's an or. Do it until one of those two things. Either I max out or I find it. Okay? Down here I have a while. And this is what keeps me to stay in. And both of those have to be true. So this is done with an and. If the item sub is less than 9, which means it's 1-8, and the match indicator is no, stay in. But I need both of them to be true to stay in. Okay? If the match indicator goes up to 9, I need, or 10, I need the match indicator equal to no. I need them both in, and I didn't say that very well. This says do while item sub is less than 9, and match indicator equals no. If item sub passes 9, I'm going to get out. Because I'm going to get out if one of those things is not true. I'm only staying in. I stay in if both are true. So if I find a match, I set match indicator to yes, the next time through I'm going to get out, because I'm staying in while both the subscript is less than 9 and the indicator is yes. If either of those change, then I'm not going to stay in. Okay? And listen to what I said there. If either of those change, I'm not going to stay in. So either means or. So here I used an or to say do it until the subscript is greater than 8 or the indicator is yes. Here I said stay in as long as the subscript is less than 9 and a match isn't found. If a match is found, get out. If the subscript gets too big, get out. Stay in while they're both true. And the until set told me what to get me out. And it's kind of interesting because the or is used when I'm telling what to get out. Get out for either of these reasons. The and is used when I'm telling you what to do to stay in, because I want to stay in while both of these are true. But if one of them goes bad, goes out, if one of them changes, I want to get out. I want to only stay in while both are true. So it's just, it's a different way of expressing it. Does that make sense?
Does the same thing.
Does exactly the same thing. Because this is saying do it until one of those two things has happened. And this is saying stay in while the number's okay and the match isn't found. But if the number's not okay, get out. You know, with an and. They both have to be true. If one or the other or both are wrong, it's out. So I'm getting out if one of those is no longer true. But as long as both of those conditions are true, I'm staying in. And it's just an interesting way of writing the logic on that. Okay, now I really am done with this one. And the next one is, I think, substring soup. Substring soup is the one I want next. Okay. Now, on this one, I put the number and the name together, which makes it a lot easier to know which goes with which. However, the way I'm going to do it, I need a split right here. And so the number has to be 2 characters. Because I'm going to split, and you'll see how I'm doing it in a minute. So the one that I had just as 3 on the other one, I've now changed to 03. Because I need it to be 2 characters. So I've changed it to 03. That doesn't mess anything up. It's still number 3. You can have as many zeros as you want in front of something. Okay? So I've split it up that way. And the reason I did is because when I go down here and am doing the search, I am using substring or left. I've got both of them in there. So I'm saying if work item number equals item array modified by item sub. I feel like there's something about the curtains in this room. Okay, where were we? We were saying we want to compare to the first two characters. And so when we want to compare to the first two characters, we say go to item array modified by item sub. Dot substring 0, 2 means start with the first character and take 2. So that tells it to compare the number that came in with the first two characters in the array. But that's why we needed to put a 0-3 so that it would take the first two correctly. Otherwise, it would have got a 3 and an S. So we need to have the 0-3 there. Okay? And so then when we find a match, we put out substring 2, and then when you don't put the comma, it takes till the end, so it takes till the end of the name. And these also can be done using left you're kidding.
All clear.
Oh, is it all clear? Kind of when they gave us the thing back. So dismiss, do you think I click on?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know exactly what dismiss was going to end up meaning. Okay, so on this one, if I want the leftmost two characters, I can also use the old way of doing it, which was Microsoft Visual Basic. You now have to put in front of it. You no longer can use left. You have to take the leftmost, and mid means go in and take 3, at static character 3, and go from there to the end. So start with character 3 and go from there to the end. Okay. I would not use the mid and the left because those date you, basically. So I would use the substring approach. As I said, mid and left used to be that you could just use mid and left. But they decided that they wanted those for other things, so they didn't let you do that anymore without writing Microsoft Visual Basic in front of it. And then it allows it. Okay, so that is using the substring. The next one I want to look at is actually from the front. If you go to my web page, I've got a couple of things up there like this, and I believe it's more array revised.
Okay, you can put your lights back on.
Oh. Oh, we don't have them on both sides anyway, thank you. Just put the far left one on. Yeah. So I want to look at more arrays.rev. I believe that's the one. I will bring it up in a second and we'll find out for sure. Nope, I was wrong. We'll look at that one, but what I want, I think, is the next one down. We're going to look at them all Thursday anyway, so if you get it downloaded, it's not a problem. But I believe I want structure array. Yeah, that's the right one. Okay. This one, well, actually, I'll give you a minute to download it. On Thursday, hopefully we're going to get there. If not, next Tuesday, we're going to look at using multiple forms and using menus. And this one actually uses multiple forms. But I'm going to just tell you how it does it. We're not going to go into a big elaborate discussion of multiple forms until either Thursday or the following Tuesday. But notice I have two forms here. Okay? So I can go over to get a second form, I can go to Project, Add Form, or Add New Item. Add a new item. So I can go in there to add a form. Okay, so I added two forms. I've got two forms here. And we'll talk about how you can make one of them the startup form and all the rest. We'll talk about all that. Just for now, we've got two forms. Magic happened. We've got two forms. Okay. One of these forms is this form here. And let me just show you how this works. Okay.
Add new form?
Yeah. No, just add item. I believe it's add item. But we're not doing that now. So back away and come with me and we will look at all that stuff. It's in the chapter 7, I think, in your book. We'll look at all that stuff. It's now running. If I click on Valid Soups, the second form comes up. And what the second form is just a form that contains all of the valid soups. Okay, so I want to click on a button to see the valid soup numbers. So if I click on that, that form comes up. Now, as we'll see when we get into forms, there are ways to bring a form up such that you can keep using it and go back and forth between them. And there's a way to bring the form up so it's not going to let you go back to the original until you close this up. And that's what I've got here. If I come back here to try to do something, notice what it's doing. It's flashing at you and telling you you basically can't go back. If I click here to return to the main, it closes it up and lets me go back. Okay? So it's letting me go back if I close it up. Okay? So if I click on Valid Soups, it comes up. And if I close it, it goes back down. Okay? What I want to look at is actually inside here. And as I said, we'll start talking about forms another time, multiple forms another time. Okay, this one I've got three forms. I've got the item number and the item name, which you see, and I also added the price. Okay? Now, if you notice here, this is all one array. Okay? It all has the name item array. So it's all one array. How I made this happen is I set up something called a structure. Okay? So I set up my structure, and my structure lets me define something. And I defined a structure called soup. Notice it says structure soup. I define a structure called soup. And up at the top, when I created the array, I said, dim an array up to 8 as soup, meaning having this structure. So as soup means having that structure. Okay? That structure has an item number, which is an integer, an item name that is a string, and item price, which is double. Okay? So I've set those three things up as part of a structure. Notice this is all above the subroutines. Okay, it is part of the general stuff that I put up there, the global stuff, because I want it to be used everywhere. So I've got this structure, and now I am saying I want to dim an item array as soup, meaning that it will have that structure. So down here, I say item array 0, dot item number, meaning the first thing, equals 3. After I've done the 8 numbers, I say item array 0 dot item name. And item name is the second thing here, and those are all the item names. And then after I've done 8 of those, I said item array 0 dot price equals 445, and I've set up the prices. Mm-hmm. So I've now put them basically into one array. And the array has a structure made up of an item number, an item name, and a price. And I have included those three in here, which is really kind of neat. Okay, so I've got an array that's made up of three parts. So now when I come down to use this in the search, I tell it that I want to go to the item array that the item sub is pointing to, and specifically the item number. So I want to compare the item number to that item number. And then when I want the name, I say return item array modified by item sub, and it returns it, and I can then pull out the name. Okay. So again, if I run this, and let's say I already know a valid soup. I only need to do that if I don't know the valid soups. And I put in 27 and say I want to order 2 of them. It comes back and says onion soup sells for $4.46. And if you want 2 of them, it's going to cost you $8.92. Okay, so that's what I'm coming back with. I put in the 27, and I'm coming back with that. Okay. Come on. If I put in the 34, which we had done before, and say order that, it's crashing because I didn't take care of the whole thing for having a bad number in this. I'm just dealing with certain things. Okay. So, in this one, when I click the button order, assuming that I get it right, and again, lots of times when I am writing a program, I want to minimize the code that I have up here, so I didn't check for a problem. Okay. So I've got here work soup search array, and I'm sending down the work item number. And when it comes back, okay, when it comes back, it is sending me back work soup, which is type soup. Notice type integer, type soup. That's type soup. So I am saying down here, work soup dot item name, work soup dot price. So I am taking the item that was sent back. Okay, I'm taking the item that was sent back. Actually, I don't see why. Anyway. I'm sending it back, and I am sending back item array, item sub. So I'm sending back the line that I want, the line that is soup. I'm sending back that line. And it is extracting the item name on the one that was sent back, and putting it in the text box, and extracting the price
and putting it in the text box. Okay.
So I've basically defined this whole new thing called salt soup, and it's a structure. And I can treat it as one, but I can also extract pieces. So down here, I'm sending it back as one. And here, I'm saying, okay, now that I've got it, I'm going to extract the pieces. So I put it in work soup. Work soup is defined as soup, which means it has the three pieces. So when I send it back, it has the three pieces. And I can then say, take work soup and extract the item name. Take work soup and extract the price. Because work soup has the structure of having the three fields broken down. Which is kind of neat. And actually, I don't know why it crashed.
I just don't get the amount due, where it says text amount due dot text.
That's just, I did a calculation. Amount due, I said format it. So I want to format it as N2 gets me currency. Look at where it runs. If I run it, and I put in 15 was one that was valid, I think. And number to order is 2. And so that's clam chowder. And clam chowder is $4.99. Okay? And I'm ordering 2 of them. So down here I'm saying take the work soup dot price. Okay? Work soup dot price I put out in this field. I put it out, work soup dot price, I put it out in text price. And then I said, now take worksoup.price and multiply it by the text to order, which is that field there. I want 2 of them.
Yeah, I understand.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I've now got that. And the N2 is just formatting it to be a number with 2 characters, 2 decimal places.
You do that, like, all the time if you want to?
Formatting?
With the format and then the N2 at the
end. Sure. And what are the other formats? There's one that gets currency. Does anybody remember what it is?
I do. Format currency. And
right.
You put in parentheses of what you want it to be formatted.
Yeah.
I know that.
Okay. When this is just the same kind of thing.
Okay.
Your book probably has a list of them at some point. Do all of you have a book? The book? Does anybody not have the book? Okay. Because the book is a good reference for that kind of stuff. You know, if I want to know that, I'm going to go look it up. I'm not going to remember what all the different formatting is. So I'm going to go and look it up. Okay. We don't exactly have time to start another one. So I think we will call it quits, since we have 2 minutes left. Okay.
I have one more question.
Ask away.
I just wanted to know, like, what's the difference between implicit array and explicit array?
Implicit, and I always have to stop and think what implicit means and what explicit means. Just what the words mean. But explicit is where you put the number in the square brackets after.
Yeah, where you have the curly braces and the curly braces at the end, and then it has
that's implicit,
oh,
I believe.
That's implicit?
I believe that's implicit.
Okay. Okay.
And explicit is when you explicitly, you know how I always have to go through this. When I explicitly say something, I'm being very explicit, I'm saying it very directly, that's when you have the number inside the brackets. So, you know, when we do an array and you put the number inside the brackets, or it's not brackets, sorry, I'm in PHP, the number they hit in parentheses.
So that's more
that's explicit.
Okay.
And the other one where you string them all out in a big thing is implicit. And why they couldn't have made a decision between languages as to when they're going to use parentheses and when they're going to use square brackets drives me crazy. Because you have to kind of stop and think which is which. PHP uses square brackets. this using parentheses. I said brackets because I was thinking PHP, I guess. Okay, now we're at 44, so we're definitely done. And I desperately want a piece of pizza.
Did they say a definition online was implicit is predefined? Or, no, explicit is predefined in the brackets. And then implicit is the definition.
Okay, let's look. Visual, anybody got the book? Explicit.
I don't have the book.
Me either, because my backpack starts to get really heavy.
Explicit declaration, like option explicit, which one am I going to want to do? Explicit array, let's see about that.
Because it's actually like six definitions, or three definitions of implicit.
I'm sure.
Definitions of explicit and ways to do it. What to do this. It's pretty intense.
Yeah, I'm sure. Oh, come on. Can we just get to an answer? Okay, populating. I probably answered that question totally wrong. Go look in your book and I'll go look in my book too. Does anybody have the book? I wouldn't carry it around either. Want to take a vote? I think of that as implicit.
Yeah, that's implicit.
And explicit is when
is
you
it,
put
is
the
it
box.
Like this? Explicit?
Yeah, more like that, yes. That's what I think of, but I may have them reversed.
Because okay. I think this is implicit.
Trust me, I won't ask you that question. All right? Because we'll probably reverse them.
Because when I look at one of your examples on the implicit, it was the one with the curly braces.
Yeah, and so that's
that,
implicit.
Sure it,
that's implicit.
That's implicit. And explicit, I didn't know because...
Explicit has the way you do each one individually, I believe.
In parentheses by the number.
Yeah, okay. And I believe that's explicit and the other's implicit, but I may have totally reversed them.
Okay.
Vocabulary is not one of my big...